Welcome back into the Badger Extra Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Joined today by our columnist, Jim Polzine. We're going to be going through our Week 12 picks here in the Big Ten, our against the spread picks. But more importantly, the game of the week has already happened. Jim's middle schooler, his son, won his basketball game Thursday night, and that's really the important thing when we get down to it. So,
yeah, we always... always a better car ride home when they win. So that was good.
Absolutely. All right. I keep forgetting to do this off the top of the show, so I'm going to do it right now before we hit our break. But last week I was 3-4. Jim was 4-3. So that means on the season, I'm 8 below .500, which is brutal. 35-43-4. And then Jim is 4 over .500, which is pretty good. They're sitting at about 52%. That's not bad, Jim. 41-37-4.
I mean, yeah. As long as we've been doing this, that has to be a high watermark.
I think so. I think you're angling. I think the first year you're like right at 500. I think one below. Last year was a little tough. So I think right now you're in a good spot to be over 500 for the season. So two more weeks to go. We're in the penultimate week here in the Big Ten season. Things have pretty much been shaken out on both sides of the conference. We'll talk about that a little bit as we get into the games. But before we get into our picks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. All right, Jim, I mentioned it before. Things have kind of been decided here in the Big Ten, barring any major upsets this weekend. Michigan and Ohio State have taken on everybody else in the East that they need to. Michigan's playing Maryland this weekend. Ohio State is hosting Minnesota. Both of those are high double-digit spreads, so I would say that pretty likely it is undefeated versus undefeated going into Ohio State next week for that big matchup to the side of the East. And in the West, Iowa has claimed at least a share of the Big Ten West title. And then they have tiebreakers over some other teams that could tie them. So as long as they win, what I understand, as long as they win over the next one game over the next two weeks, they will be the Big Ten West champs and going to Indianapolis for what should be just a god-awful football game between Iowa and Michigan or Ohio State, whichever one it is. But we'll get to that when we get to it. Let's jump into that Michigan game right away here. Michigan is a 19-point favorite going to Maryland, a Maryland team that, besides last week, a improbable, disgusting win over Nebraska, who did everything they could to give the ball away every chance they could. They win that game by a last-second field goal, 13-10 in Nebraska. But both of us don't see it going too well for them this weekend at home against Michigan. Michigan, we're both going to lay the 19. They're the best team to be in the conference, the most talented team. Jim Harbaugh not being on the sideline doesn't seem to matter. And they got announced Thursday afternoon that Michigan and Harbaugh aren't going to fight the Big Ten in court anymore. They're going to continue to work with the NCAA on that investigation as that continues to go. But I just don't see it mattering when you're playing against the Maryland team that's looked pretty dead the last month or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to look up what Michigan is against the spread this year, because it feels like we're picking them every week, or at least one of us is picking them every week and being successful with it. So yeah, I think you're right. I just think they will physically manhandle Maryland, and I don't see this game being very close.
And that's the thing where it's like, you watch these Michigan games, and even last week where it wasn't the prettiest game, wasn't the best Michigan performance against Penn State, but what was it, like 28 runs in a row?
They didn't pass the ball in the second half.
I mean, it definitely was, hey, we have the lead, let's not risk it, let's not put the ball at risk. But at the same time, it was like, no, this is a statement that we're just so much better than you. We are just going to roll. And let's see here. Michigan is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're 5-5 against the spread this year.
Oh, wow. That's, well, never mind then.
Yeah. Well, some of their spreads have been ridiculous. 35, yeah. 41, 31. So we still take them. They've been pretty close. So
yeah.
I just feel like back to 500 somehow.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I really was ready to give up on Maryland, and they pulled one out last week. But again, that's not a very good Nebraska team. I feel like anytime a lot of these teams play each other, it just kind of comes down to who wins the turnover battle. And Maryland won it last week, beat Nebraska, and gained bowl eligibility. So good for the Terrapins.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on to Rutgers going to Penn State. Penn State is a 20.5 point favorite coming off that tough loss against Michigan, where they got run all over in the second half, even though they have one of the best defenses in the country. So surprisingly, they got run all over in the second half, and Michigan just churned out clock and first downs and everything. They're still the Big Ten's best rushing defense, and I believe first or second in the country. So taking on a Rutgers team that likes to run the ball a ton, probably a good thing for the Nittany Lions at home. But both of us are taking the 20.5 for Rutgers here. We're going to take those points. And for me, Jim, it's a matter of Penn State's passing offense isn't very explosive, and Rutgers' rushing defense has been solid enough. They make you earn drives. That's one thing you can say about Rutgers this year. Not a ton of big plays. And the more you make teams churn it out, the more you can get a holding penalty or something that derails there, maybe a fumble, something like that. So I think they're able to cover three touchdowns. I don't think they're in this game whatsoever because they don't have an offense that can beat this Penn State defense, but I think they keep it relatively close.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder about Penn State's mindset. Just they've lost their two biggest games this year. Nothing, no more division title to play for. I mean, they still have a New Year's Six Bowl to play for, so I don't want to make it seem like there's no incentive, but I certainly can't imagine this team coming out and playing with fire. So I think there'll be a hangover effect. I think this will be kind of a, you know, low scoring, ugly for a long time, and I just don't see Penn State getting to that number.
Yeah, like you said, as they went out, they're going to be in a New Year's Six Bowl, and that's really all they're kind of looking at. And it's not the Rose Bowl, unfortunately, for them, because Rose Bowl is one of the semifinals this year. So we'll move over to Michigan State going to Indiana. Michigan State coming off just a waxing at Columbus. I have them 31, plus 31.5 and lost. lost 38-3, and there was a lucky three, if we're being honest. So Indiana coming off a wild shootout against Illinois. They are a 3.5 point favorite at home. Jim, why don't you go first? You're on Indiana here.
Yeah. Again, I don't feel real strongly about it because I just don't trust Indiana, but I think they've put together two good games in a row, even with the loss last week. I think they, I think they're playing better. I think they're playing harder. I think they can put points on the board. So I think they cover this 3.5. I think they're going to find ways to score. And I just don't know that Michigan State's a team that I trust on the road. I thought that like my first impression of this line was that it was too low, which sounds weird for a team like Indiana, right? I mean, this is not a very good team, but 3.5 sounded low to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I'm also going to lay the 3.5 with Indiana. I think they've just figured out some things on offense. Like they've got one playmaking receiver and they get him the ball as often as they can. And I think Bob Bosa, old friend of the Badgers here, has figured out some things with the offensive line. It's not a dominant unit by any means, and they're not running the ball, but they're giving their quarterback enough time and they're doing enough with mobile pockets and things like that to make sure that he's got chances to make some plays with his feet and his arm. So I think that's enough for a Michigan State to be a Michigan State team at home by at least 4. And I think that's actually probably going to be a little bit more lopsided because give Tom Allen credit. I think he gets his guys to play hard. They're not the most talented team, but I think they try. And Michigan State's try level has been up and down throughout the year. And I think those guys might be just ready to either hit the portal once the regular season's over or, you know, kind of figure out who their next coach is going to be and decide if they're going to be part of that team. So I don't think there's going to be much of an effort on that end. Let's jump over to Purdue going to Northwestern. The Wildcats just hired David Braun, Wisconsin native, to head up the program in full-time capacity after being the interim coach since this summer, coming off that win over Wisconsin at Camp Randall Stadium. Purdue is a 3-point favorite on the road at Northwestern, though, after Purdue really just took it to Minnesota. 49 points after their offense being kind of dormant the last few weeks before that. Just that was one of those where we came up from availability with the Wisconsin players, saw that score, and I was just like, wait, what? I really couldn't believe that one. I think that's really baked in the line here, but I'm going to go the other way, Jim. I'm going to take the home dog. I'm going to take the 3 points with the Wildcats. And my big thing here is that team wanted David Braun to have this job, and the Wisconsin win apparently was enough to convince the decision makers at Northwestern to give him this job. I think there's an emotional bump there. And when you're talking about two teams that are, you know, not very good overall, Northwestern's still got an outside shot at a bowl. They got to win one of these next two games. And, I mean, given where they've been the last couple of years, to get to a bowl game under David Braun, that's a massive step forward and a sign of just what type of coach this guy is, even with a roster that's not very good.
He won't win Coach of the Year, but I think he should strongly be considered for it, because remember, early in the year, we were trying to find ways that this team could get more than one or two wins, and yep, here they are at 5-5. So I was really impressed. Like, I don't think they have any stars per se, but they executed really well against Wisconsin, and they played hard. I mean, it was noticeable that they were the more physical, more intense team. And that says something about Wisconsin, yes, but I also think it says something about Northwestern. So I'm laying the point, or this spread surprised me too.
Yep.
I can't for the life of me figure out why Purdue's favored by a field goal on the road. I think you're right, though. I think that last week's performance against Minnesota is baked into this line. But I'm still taking Northwestern. I feel pretty comfortable with this one.
Yeah, you too. And we have seen all year long, Ryan Day is where spreads go. Ryan Field is where spreads go to die. And I think this is going to be another one of those. I think Northwestern is going to be the better team up front on both sides of the ball, and then it's going to be able to take it to Purdue. So we're going to jump to Minnesota going to Ohio State. Minnesota is kind of on that tiering point here for bowl eligibility as well, with 5 wins going to Columbus. Very unlikely they're going to get that 6th win against the Buckeyes. They're 27.5-point underdogs. The Buckeyes are almost 4 touchdown favorites, and we are both on Ohio State here. I don't think Kyle McCord's an elite quarterback. He's played a lot better since that Wisconsin, I shouldn't say close win, but since that performance at Wisconsin that had a lot of people questioning, you know, what the ceiling was for this team with him at quarterback, I think that's really locked him in and got him playing better. And when you just have the stars that Ohio State does on both sides of the ball, I mean, it's very tough for me to imagine Minnesota scoring more than 7 to 10 points this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ohio State and lay the points too. The only thing that gives me pause, Colton, is that, and this you can say this about Michigan too, is that there's no reason for these guys to play their stars much into the third quarter. So you could definitely see a team taking its foot off the gas. And if it's only 24-0 or 24-7 at the time, maybe you have a hard time getting to that 27.5 number. But I'm going to stick with these favorites until proven otherwise, because I just think there's so much of a talent disparity between the Ohio States and Michigans of the world and the rest that I just think it's a smart play to ride the favorites.
I'm with you. And if you just go back and look over the last few weeks, what Minnesota has done on the road, blowout loss at Purdue. They lose at home against Illinois on a heartbreaker at the end. And then they win the Iowa game with the punt return controversy. They just have not been a very good road team, and I think a lot of it's because they don't have all that much talent at quarterback. Well, that Northwestern game was on the road as well, that embarrassing fourth quarter debacle loss for them. So I just think that this is not a team that travels, and you're going into the most talented team in the Big Ten. I think Michigan's the best team. I think Ohio State's the most talented. I know that's a weird delineation to make, but I just think that's how it shakes out right now this year. So I think that's going to be kind of a bloodbath and probably over pretty quickly for the Gophers. All right. We usually do these in order of what time they're played and then Wisconsin last. But Jim wanted me to move Illinois and Iowa to second to last here in the cleanups or the setups role. So Illinois is a 3-point underdog going to Kinnick Stadium. I'll let you go first, Jim. What do you got on this game?
So it's not so much on the game. I'll tell you what I have in the game, but then I want to kind of have this be a segue to the Wisconsin game. I'm going to take Illinois. Another injury hit for Iowa. Cooper DeJean is their best player. This team has taken a lot of big injury hits this year. And I just wonder how much more they can take. So my thinking is, I don't know who's going to win this game. So I'm just going to take the team that's getting 3 points. And I would not be surprised if Illinois wins this game. Of course, it's going to be low scoring. Of course, it's going to be ugly. So I'm going to take the 3 points with Illinois. Why don't you go ahead? Because then I will have something I want to add.
Sure. So I'm with you. I'm going to take the points in Illinois. And to me, it's really just the fact that Illinois has got enough explosion on offense. They've got enough playmakers that I think they can just pop one, you know? I mean, and like you mentioned, with the injury hits they've taken, the Iowa defense, not with DeGene, but Iowa as a whole, you know, they're playing a style of football where it's basically like a race to 10 points, a race to 13 points. And it's not sustainable. I know they've been doing it for years and they win a lot of games this way. There's just going to be a game where you're the one that lets up the pick six.
Yep.
You're the one that lets up the big punt return. And then the other offense scores. Like, I think it's got to run out eventually here. And this kind of reminds me of that Nebraska game last year where Iowa was all set to go to Indy, plays a really bad Nebraska team with nothing to play for. They get upset at home. This isn't the exact same because I mentioned earlier Iowa's got kind of the stranglehold going to Indy, but I just think that this is a game that Bielma will get the Lion Eye up for, and I think they cover 3. But let's jump back to you and your kind of segue here.
Okay, scenario. Follow along here.
All right.
Illinois wins out, so they win at Iowa, and they beat, I believe, Northwestern in the final?
Correct.
Game of the regular season?
Yep.
Okay. Iowa loses out, so they lose this Illinois game, and then they lose at Nebraska. Wisconsin wins out. They beat Nebraska, win at Minnesota. 3-way tie at 5-4. Next tiebreaker, if you go the head-to-head, they would have split with each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next tiebreaker is divisional record. Wisconsin would be 4-2. The other teams would be 3-3. Wisconsin would be your representative from the West Division in Indy. Is that a crazy scenario to think could happen?
Okay, I'm going to say yes only because I think if Nebraska loses this week to Wisconsin, which would have to happen for this scenario, I can't see them getting up for that Black Friday game to the level that they beat Iowa.
But they would need it for bowl eligibility. That was my thinking.
True. I think they look at it as this is the game that's going to get them bowl eligible because,
yeah.
Or I don't know, maybe because of how bad Iowa's offense is. Maybe they're like, oh, we got that in our back pocket. But I don't know. I just think, given how they lost last week, where they should be bowl eligible already. They should have that sixth win.
Yep.
They're bringing 4 quarterbacks to Wisconsin this weekend. 3 of them are just turnover machines. Doesn't matter seemingly who they throw in there. At least Henrik Harburg can get the snap off on like Jeff Sims. But Chuba Purdy goes in there and throws a just brutal red zone interception that costs them that game. And then they're bringing the walk-on freshman quarterback that they have just for insurance as well, because Harburg's going to be available but limited. Sims and Purdy are probably going to split reps. Like, I just can't see them be going into a 2-game losing streak and then getting up for that last game to the level to beat Iowa, because like you're mentioning, there's going to be a lot on the line for Iowa in that game as well.
Yeah, no, totally fair. All that is totally fair.
I appreciate the research, though, because I thought Wisconsin was dead in the water.
I was writing something that will run Friday at Badger Extra, and I just wanted to make sure that my wording was correct. And then, sure enough, I found this loophole that Wisconsin can still get there. Honestly, Colton, I thought you were going to say that the thing that didn't make sense in that scenario was that Wisconsin would win 2 games to end the season. So I guess we can now segue Wisconsin game. What's that?
I'm not super confident in that happening either, but I was just trying to, you know. My thing with this whole, we've talked about it multiple podcasts in a row now. Any team in the Big Ten West can beat each other.
Yep.
Like you mentioned earlier with the turnover battle, who's just going to play worse. And that's the thing. Iowa will not beat itself until I think this is the week that it finally happens. But that's just how they continue to pull out these games against other bad teams. It's that they don't make the mistakes and other people do. So, I don't know.
I was going to say, I wonder in these West versus West games, what the record of the team that scores first, what's their record? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I feel like
momentum.
Well, and I feel like with Iowa especially, like if you make them play from behind, I feel like that's just a huge disadvantage for them. But
yep.
When they get ahead, they can be conservative, they can be smart. And I'm guessing that's probably true for a lot of West teams because it's just all of them have so much trouble scoring.
Mm-hmm. And it, I'm sure fans are, as you're saying that, are just going back to Luke Fickell's and Phil Longo's decision to not kick a field goal in the first quarter on that first drive to put Iowa behind right away after getting a big defensive stop. So, yeah, I think you're right. If you put Iowa behind, you're just, they're at such a disadvantage with their quarterback play and their lack of weapons. It's just going to be a decision or a question mark of if Illinois can do that this weekend. Jumping into Wisconsin here, because as Jim just laid out, they're still alive somehow. I truly thought they were dead, so I'm glad you informed me I was wrong there. But Nebraska is coming to Madison. Wisconsin is a 5.5-point favorite at Camp Randall Field. Just kidding, Camp Randall Stadium. I heard somebody say that at on the high school football broadcast today.
Oh, really?
It's like, really? No, that's kind of rough, guys. Like I said, Wisconsin's 5.5-point favorite. I'm on Nebraska here, Jim. You can go on Badger Extra or Madison.com. Check out my story about the Badgers leaders kind of calling out team's dedication. And we got six upperclassmen made available to us reporters on Tuesday night and talked to them about all that. I get the vibe that they're just in a, they're in a moment where the guys who aren't bought in are likely the ones that aren't playing anyway. So if there's a divide in the locker room, it's probably not the guys on the field. And I was like, all right, that's probably a good thing overall, but we're talking about making picks here. That just means that the guys who are bought in and playing are just playing so poorly.
Yeah.
You're losing to the Indianas and Northwesterns of the world in a pretty dominant fashion. So yeah, I'd go with Nebraska here, even though I mentioned quarterback woes that they've got going on. They've been a terrible road team. I just have no faith that this Wisconsin team can put things together for four quarters and either get out of its own way on offense, make enough plays on defense. Yeah, the only thing to me is if we get through the first quarter and Nebraska's given the ball away twice, which entirely possible. They're the worst team in the FBS with fumbles. They're one of the worst teams overall in turnovers. It's entirely possible they just give the game the ball away so much that Wisconsin has no choice but to win, but I still think the way that Nebraska's defense is playing, 5.5 is too many points for the Badgers.
Yeah, I agree. And this is I said this for a previous game. If I don't know who's going to win a game, if I can legitimately see either team winning, then I'm just going to take the team that's getting points. And 5.5 is way too many points. We talked on the show on how well I'm doing this season. I should have lost like 10 games in the standings for picking Wisconsin to cover 10.5 points, because that was probably my dumbest pick of the year. And you wisely picked the Wildcats and took the points. I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. I still feel like if this team can get off to a good start and, you know, build some early momentum and just get the negative thoughts out of their head early, that it can be a decent team. But like, they don't do that. They don't start fast. And just as likely is that, you know, something bad happens early and they're in an early hole and the Boo Birds are going to come out. I mean, I don't know what the crowd's going to be like. I actually think Nebraska is probably going to, they always travel well. I'm guessing a lot of Wisconsin fans sold their tickets this week. It's deer hunting. Yeah. So
I saw a picture on Twitter before we started doing this of tickets are like $4 and $5 in the lower bowl in some of those sections. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. So I don't know. I just last week's pick, really, I was kicking myself all the way home last week, and I don't know what I was thinking laying 10.5 points with this team.
The only thing that I would say might get things a little bit going for the Badgers is if Braylon Allen's a little bit more healthy. I saw it in warmups right away last week that he was nowhere close to full sprinting, even when they're doing, like, you know, their short sprints or short burst sprints. They do in their dynamic warmup and some of the other things. And Fickell mentioned it in the post game, like, he never opened it up, like, just couldn't. And unless they have him, his offensive line's not productive enough, especially against this Nebraska front, which is playing out of its mind. That's probably the one, I think that unit of any in the Big Ten, the turnaround of Nebraska's defense in one season with this new coaching staff under Matt Rhule, that's probably the most impressive thing to me in the entire Big Ten. I mean, slight caveat for Northwestern, just in general being competent team, given all the struggles they had in their roster. But what we saw out of Nebraska for years, especially against Wisconsin, was no push up front, no tackling, and Wisconsin, even when they couldn't throw the ball, could run up and down the field on them. And that's not going to happen this year. And I just think this is I picked a Nebraska win in the paper, so you guys can check that out if you
are. Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know. But I just think this team, this Wisconsin team is broken, and I don't think they got it fixed in 1 week here. And the fact that Nebraska is still alive for a bowl, I think Matt Rhule is going to really hammer that this week and try to get them, lock that out before a short week next week.
He's done a really nice job. I'm impressed by him. You know what? I'm second-guessing something I said earlier in the show, Colton, because let's say Michigan wins out. They beat Ohio State. Are people actually going to vote for Jim Harbaugh for Coach of the Year based on what's happening off the field? And if he doesn't get it, then who do you vote for? You almost have to vote for David Braun, right? But they might not have a winning record. This is a weird year.
So let's say Iowa wins out. Let's say Iowa wins out. It's Kirk Ferentz at 9-3. With all those injuries, and like as you're saying, because nobody's going to vote for Harbaugh, but then you can't really justify voting for Day if they come in second in the East.
No, right.
So,
no, Ferentz is a good call on Ferentz.
But
that makes sense.
But Braun's probably the feel good pick if you're just going to be like, I'm not voting for Harbaugh. So, yeah, that might be a tight race. I just got that email. I might have to start thinking about this a little bit closer.
Yeah, it's not an easy pick this year.
It isn't. All right. For Jim Folzine, I'm Colton Bartholomew. Thank you guys very much for listening. Get on BadgerAction.com. Get subscribed. Make sure you don't miss anything from Nebraska, Wisconsin, and then everything else that's going on in Badger sports right now. Both hockey teams playing some big games this weekend. Todd Molesky's all over that. Michael McCleary's covering our men's basketball beat. Pretty disappointing situation on, what was that, Monday night? Tuesday night for the Badgers there. So hopefully they can get that turned around, get some Michael a little bit more exciting things to write about when they return home. But get on BadgerExtra.com, get subscribed, check out Jim's column that he mentioned earlier, and then my story as well about the kind of fracture of this team and how much that is going to matter going forward. So for Jim Folzine and Fulton Bartholomew, thank you guys very much for listening.